John chapter 6, page 1070, starting at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But, as I told you, you've seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews then began to grumble about him because he said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who's heard the Father has learned from him, and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Tim. So today's passage, just get it up. Today's passage seems to be very much focused on food. But I hope to show you there are two, well, there's lots in there, but there are two things, two main points we'll see today, that Jesus is food for a higher journey, and that Jesus is unique because he is food from above. So do keep your Bibles open and see if you agree with me. So commentary about food in our culture is never far away. Perhaps you watch the Channel 4's Great British Bake Off or ITV's Culinary Genius. In our house, as soon as it's lunchtime, the next question is, what's for pudding? As soon as that's gone, what's for dinner? What's for supper? Meal planning is important. In our house, it's mainly Katrina who does it. It's very important. We all have to plan what we want to eat. Perhaps if you're heading into town, you might think, well, I'll take an economical packed lunch today. Or maybe you'll pop down to one of the hot sausage places or a crepe van. Maybe you happen to plan your DfE, your Duke of Edinburgh hike. You've got to think, how many calories can I pack in? And will it cook well on a trangie? Thinking about what to eat is an important part of life, especially if you're on a journey. Well, in today's passage from John 6, Jesus is in a dialogue with people who he grew up with, having the day before fed over 5,000 people from one lad's little lunchbox of a few fish sandwiches. So that's more than making a meal stretch. It was miraculous, doing something that only God can do. And the people were still talking about it. They wanted to do more. They see a link between Jesus then and Moses. And they talk about that, comes up in chapter 6 and verse 14 and again in verse 31. And knowing their own cultural history and knowing the Bible, they saw the parallel between Jesus feeding them and walking on water with what Moses had done in the past when their forefathers were on a rescue mission through the Red Sea, and then they were sustained with manna, a bread from heaven, that kept them going for 40 years until they reached the promised land. And that's all recorded back in Exodus chapter 16. So in the past, they know they'd been on a journey, and Jesus now is going to talk about a different journey. So if we look at verses 32 and 35 in a moment, and again at verses 48 and 51, Jesus acknowledges that link between him and Moses, but is asking them to change their focus, to zoom out to a bigger picture. So let's read both those sections. So in verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then in verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." So the people were very focused on the details of Moses' manna and were primarily interested in getting more food now. It's like they thought of Jesus as the Tesco delivery man, or maybe Mr. Delivery, ready to deliver meals at the click of a button. They wanted more food and more food now. They said to Jesus, "You did dinner last night, we want breakfast today." But Jesus doesn't deliver them a next meal. Instead, he teaches them, and he points out a few things that we've just read about. First of all, yes, that food Moses delivered your forefathers, the manna from heaven, it was actually from God. Yes, the bread they ate prevented death in the near time and sustained them for their 40 years in the desert. But Jesus is the bread of life that will prevent death in an ultimate sense. Yes, in the past, your forefathers were on a rescue mission. They were on a journey to the promised land. But Jesus is going to talk about a higher journey, another journey to eternal life. So, like the people then, we're so focused in on the here and now. We want Jesus to sort out our immediate earthly needs. That's not a bad thing. But Jesus does want us to zoom out and at this time think about a bigger question. He wants us to put some thought into what happens when we die. Jesus is saying, get a life. Get an eternal life. We're so focused, as we say, on the here and now. But Jesus is saying we need to get that bigger perspective. What will happen when the here and now ends? Think about eternity. There's a whole lot more of it than there is in our short lives now. And a simple way to explain this, Steve is going to come and be my volunteer. I'm going to hold this end. Stephen, off you go. Let's see if you can get all the way to the end. Oh, no, are we already bungled up? Tunnel up. Go, go, go. So Stephen heads off down the hall. It's a tricky business unraveling this wool. Imagine this wool is the timeline of our lives. We're born here at the beginning of this little black bit. And when we die, here at the end of the black bit. Oh, you can stop. That's enough, Stephen. We're going to have to tidy it up at some point. But yeah, our lives start here at the beginning of the black bit. They end here at the end of this little black bit. And Jesus says, our timeline goes on. This is our eternal existence. This is what Jesus wants to realize. We have this tiny bit of life here on earth, and then we have eternity somewhere else. But it's this short bit at the beginning that we are so focused on, spending our time thinking about. It's like the people in the passage wondering, where will our next bit of food come from? Where will our next meal come from? And we're often the same in our society. We ignore this big question about that may well be at the back of our minds. What will happen after we die? For instance, when we're focused on this bit of our lives, the things we're looking forward to, we think, I'm really looking forward to getting a new smartwatch. Maybe I can get an iPhone. We're concerned about what to do for sixth form. Where should we go? What's my next homework assignment? Will I get it done in time? And later in life, as we get older, we think about, what kind of job will I do? Where will I go on holiday? What are the kids doing? What about getting the kitchen refurbished? Have I got my pension plan? All good things to think about. Thank you, Stephen. But Jesus is warning us that we're so focused on what... Just put it down there, it's fine. We're so focused on what happens in that next few centimetres of our lives, we don't want to think about what happens after that. Thinking about eternal life, it may sound like mumbo jumbo. Some will say, there's just nothing after death. But here, Jesus is just very matter of fact about it. He says we are made with eternity in our hearts. There is more to life than what we can just see in the here and now. There is a reality of eternal life, and he is the only one that can help us with it. So how can we get an eternal life? How can we have assurance of what will happen when that black bit of our timeline ends? Well, Jesus gives the most clear and profound answer. In fact, he says it three times. First of all, in verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In verse 48 again, I am the bread of life. And in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. When Jesus calls himself the bread of life, he is saying he is the food we need for a higher journey. The journey that's beyond the here and now. After death, when our timeline will continue, Jesus is the food we need for eternal life. And Jesus tells us that three times, that he is the bread of life. And again, that's something we'll come back to in a bit. Because we know that planning food for your journey is important. But let's look back at the passage again. So people do struggle with what Jesus has got to say. So if we look at verse 41 and 42, in verse 41, at this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Now, that's not an unreasonable question. As Jesus grew up in the area, they knew where he lived. They knew where he went to school, who his parents were. Maybe they even had a bit of furniture, a table or a chair, that he'd made in their own homes. It does seem absurd that this local lad can make a difference to our eternal existence. But Jesus doesn't back down. Having told them that he is food for a higher journey, he reveals more about his identity and God's work in our lives. And these truths are weaved throughout verses 32 to 47. So who is this Jesus who claims to be food for a higher journey of eternal life? Well, Jesus says he is food from above. So we look at verse 33. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven. And again in verse 38, I have come down from heaven. In verse 46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. So what we hear from anyone else about God is just conjecture. Only Jesus has seen God and can describe him to us. In verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then in verse 47, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Jesus is unique. He's not just another prophet, as many, including the Quran, will claim. No, Jesus is food from above. He is God. People often want to say Jesus is just a good teacher, a very good teacher. But that's not how Jesus actually describes himself. No other prophet in the Bible says, you have to believe in me. Jesus is making radical claims here to be God and to be the only way to know God. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's using I am deliberately as the name that God gave himself. When Moses asked God, who shall I say sent me to lead this rescue mission from Egypt to the promised land? That was back in Exodus. But God replied, I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am sent me. Jesus is no good teacher. He takes the name of God and claims he is from above, that he is the only one who can help us with that higher journey of eternal life. These may sound like inflated claims. We're used to ads with exaggerated and far-fetched claims. VW claimed to have the cleaner diesel engines with ultra-low emissions. But in fact, they and many other manufacturers had been cheating the emissions tests. Or Red Bull will give you wings, but at the same time, also improve your concentration and reaction speeds. They don't recommend it for sport. We're not advertising it for revision either. But even Red Bull were actually successfully sued and settled out of court for their customers who, having consumed their Red Bull, didn't show signs of improved intellectual or physical abilities. These retailers and many others have had their claims tested by the users and found to be untrue. But should we take Jesus' claims seriously? Remember what he'd done the day before. He'd just fed over 5,000 people from one lad's lunchbox of a few fish sandwiches. And again, that was more than making a meal stretch. It was miraculous, doing something that only God can do. And at that time, they didn't challenge him. They saw it. They accepted this has actually happened, and they were deeply moved. They kept following Jesus to find out more. They thought Jesus would keep just doing it, making more food. But that miracle both demonstrated and also validated that Jesus could live up to these big claims he was making, that what he says is true. We should take Jesus seriously because he is food from above. And this miracle is also a visual aid for what Jesus is claiming. The miracle and his explanation both work together. He himself fed over the 5,000 people to relieve their hunger the day before. And he's promising now to feed a vast number of people with himself to give eternal life. He said, I am the bread of life. He himself is the food we need for a higher journey. The feeding of the 5,000 should give us confidence in taking Jesus' claims seriously. Jesus has stressed that it's critical that we have the right food for the journey, and that food is him. And who is this food for? We see in verse 35, whoever. And again in verse 40, everyone who looks to the Son. Whoever and everyone. These are gracious and very inclusive words. Everyone and anyone is able to come freely as they choose. It's not just the Jews who were listening at the time that could be included. God's rescue, the possibility of eternal life, is for all ethnic and national backgrounds. It's not limited to the better qualified or the churchy types. God's love isn't towards those, or isn't only towards those who might have their 12 GCSEs or none, those who watch the Great British Bake Off or instead watch Match the Day, those who fill their days with busyness, or those who are struggling with even the motivation to work. That whoever includes you and me. So when Jesus tells us in verse 44, then Jesus goes on to tell us in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. We are free to choose to believe or not to believe in Jesus. God doesn't force us. So how are we to understand this truth from Jesus that God draws us? Well, here's an illustration that might help in part. You've likely seen these yellow boxes appear around the village containing defibrillators. We've now got five of them, which is a great thing. One at each of the three sports pavilions, one on the parish council's office building, and one opposite the spa on the high street. In fact, the one at the sports pavilion was used earlier in the year when to see if Kevin Cuffley, one of the councillors, lives, because he had a heart attack during a parish council meeting, and somebody opened it and used it and saved his life. Because when somebody actually has a heart attack, there's little they can actually do for themselves until someone unlocks the box, uses the defibrillator, and shocks them back to life. And that shock's critical to get your heart beating again. And the Bible's clear that we are spiritually dead in our sin. Like someone who's had a heart attack, we know a dying person can't resuscitate themselves, so it's a kindness of God that he doesn't leave us in that state, but works to draw us to Jesus, the bread of life, who can give us eternal life. We need the Father to shock us back into spiritual life. We can't do it on our own. It's great that God takes that initiative, that God is willing to draw us, even at times drag us back to eternal life through Jesus. So, from John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's telling us, I am food. I am the food you need for a higher journey. Now, that's not a trip into town. It's not your DV expedition. But it is the journey of your life, your eternal life. And only Jesus can do this rescue because he is the food from above. And he is how God does his work in us. Finally, we read at the end of verse 51. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, here Jesus must be looking forward to the cross. At the end of this book, Jesus will be nailed to the cross, die and rise again. He died not just because of human barbarity or political deceit, but in the plan of God for the forgiveness of our sins. He gave his body for the life of the world. That's right at the heart of Christianity. The reason he came from heaven to earth was to bring life and the possibility of everlasting, eternal life to the whole world. He came to deal with the problem of being alienated from God, facing death and judgment. So in verse 51, it's a great verse. It reminds us of why John wrote the book, as we used as a memory verse a few weeks previously. In John 20, verse 31, I'll not test you, where John said, these things are written that you may believe and have life in his name. So I hope you see these two truths, that Jesus is food for a higher journey. Jesus is unique because he is food from above. He is from God. So I think these truths have at least three applications for us. First of all, what are we living for? The world, the devil, they want to keep us busy with the here and now, in the here and now, thinking about our diet. What's our Instagram feed saying? What's on WhatsApp? Let's keep up with my sports team. Let's enjoy playing with the Xbox. Get online. As we get older, we're still doing a lot of that, but we're also thinking about our career, our house. Do we need extra bedrooms? Should I improve the garden? What's the holy plans again? All good things to enjoy and plan for. But Jesus tells us not to get so distracted with these immediate concerns that we ignore him. All these things are more like sugary snacks. They fill us up quickly, but they won't last for eternity. They are not the food we need for eternal life. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Do you believe he is the Son of God? Have you received Jesus into your life? And here's Jesus' promise. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Jesus went on to die on the cross to bring forgiveness for anyone who believes in him. Forgiveness is what is needed for eternal life. It's what Jesus has done that is what Jesus has done what is needed. Eternal life is not about being good enough, not about being good enough for God, living a good life, doing enough good deeds, or even going to church. Although it's great you do come to church, it's not what makes you a Christian any more than standing in a luxury car garage will turn you into a luxury car, or drinking Red Bull will actually give you wings. Having eternal life is not about being good enough for God, but it's being forgiven enough by Jesus. It's not about what we do, but about what Jesus has done. So there's not some sliding scale of Christians, some who are very Christian, and others who just make it in. We either receive Jesus or we don't. We can receive him by a simple prayer, asking him to come into our lives. And that's how my Christian life began when I was 16. It's how every real Christian's life can begin. So if you are interested to find out more, if you have a sense that there could be more to life, then please do act on it. Please do talk perhaps with the person you came with or one of the church staff or elders who are wearing white badges. If you are a Christian as well, this passage is also for you. It's wonderful that we're on a journey with Jesus. He's our food that will take us right through to eternal life. So two things. First of all, we can have assurance. Sometimes we wonder, will we make it to the end? Maybe there are things in life that you're ashamed of, either from your past or even now in the present. Perhaps life seems so busy, you feel so exhausted. We easily forget Jesus. We wonder, will I be a follower of Jesus when I actually die? Well, please be assured. Jesus says to you, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus has done all the hard work. Jesus has done the hard work. He will give us a spiritual life now and eternally. There's nothing more that you can do. If we've trusted in Jesus, he will raise us on the last day. Please be assured. And finally, nourishment. Jesus is the bread of life. We start the Christian life by receiving him, depending on him. We need to go on depending on him, chewing on that bread. My favourite bread, by the way, was, my mum's here, is her wheaten bread. Very nice, very soft, doesn't need much chewing. Some bread still can be nice and chewy. It is worth chewing on to get the best out of it. We want to get the best out of the bread. We want to get the best that Jesus will give us. We call our Sunday services, well, these Sunday meetings, services. But the danger is that we can get the idea that perhaps we're serving God. But put that idea out of your head and think of coming to church and this meeting perhaps more like coming to a service station or a garage. A service station is somewhere you go to fill up your car, to get some snacks. As we meet together as a church family, it's not to do Jesus a favour, but it's that Jesus might feed us, might strengthen us for the week ahead. That's why one of the aims of church, we say, is to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. We can only do that because it's Jesus who feeds us. So the Christian life starts with receiving Jesus and continues with a daily dependence on him and all the blessings he gives. And at that point, I'd like to commend this book, which I picked up at the church weekend away, Enjoying God. It's at the back. It's a great book to encourage you to reflect daily on
how you can depend on Jesus. It's called Enjoying God, experiencing the power and love of God in everyday life. It's really good. There are lots of other good books too. I'd recommend that one today. But to finish then, Jesus says he is the bread of life. He is the food we need for a higher journey, eternal life. Have you received him yourself? And if you have, please go on depending on him. Happy to take any questions or comments.
Thank you for that really useful image of proper good quality bread. I'm struggling with diet at the moment. It's a very vivid image to have, really thinking of nice bread that currently I'm not eating because of the diet, but it's only temporary. It really just, it's so concrete. It's like every morning when you think, what am I going to have for breakfast? It's a lovely link just to think something nourishing that stays with you, not just sort of whizzing through the motions, but something that you can really get your teeth into. I've found that really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Finding ways to reflect on God, to chew over the truths that you know.
Thank you, Andrew. I was just wondering whether it's just, there is the journey. There's not a higher one or a lower one. It's the journey, and we can't do the journey without him at all.
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it. Tim. Oh, yeah, I'll pray, and then I'm back to Tim. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you in your kindness, sending him, giving us the nourishment we need for spiritual life, for eternal life. Please help those who don't know him yet to trust in him for forgiveness and for eternal life. For those of us who do know you, please help us daily to turn to you with gratefulness for your kindness, your goodness, your good food for us. Amen.